This is a real thing, and now it has a name. This has been trending all over TikTok. It's called sunshine guilt.
I am experiencing sunshine guilt right now. It is an abnormally beautiful day outside, but I'm tired. So now I feel this pressure to go outside and go for a walk and enjoy the weather while it lasts. I can't enjoy myself indoors now because the whole time I'm thinking that I should be outside. So basically my day is ruined.
Yep. So sunshine guilt is a real thing.
Sure.
And I don't have sunshine guilt, but my mom is a sunshine guilt pusher.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's a nice day out and she'll call me, she'll be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, nothing. I'm cleaning the house. But it's beautiful outside.
Right,
what do you
mean? Right. She's a shamer,
yes.
Basically. She's telling you that you should be doing more to get out there during those days. Sometimes you have those days where you're just too tired to do it, though.
I know. But you want to know what? Like, it all goes back to this. I was thinking about it. I live very close to a nature trail where a lot of people walk. So I get to see this from my window and I get guilted because if it's like a nice day, especially like when you're coming out of like the winter season and the rainy season and the sun starts coming out and it's a good day and you get home and you're exhausted and you have 1,000 things to do and you still have to finish your work, I'll look out my window and I'll see people hiking in the woods.
Oh.
And there'll be lots of them and they'll have their dogs and they'll be on bikes and they all look joyful.
Smiling.
Yes.
Right.
Like they've won some kind of prize, you know, the jackpot sunshine prize. And you really, one, don't feel like going outside and going for a walk. And two, have that guilt inside of you.
Is it worse with kids? Right. Because I mean, with the dogs, it's totally worse. If I don't feel like getting up and doing anything, like I have to at least walk them, especially when it's nice. Or they're going to look at me like I'm a terrible person all day and night.
I just let the kids go in the backyard.
You
go run around in the backyard, which is a funny thing to me. And it's a funny concept because as an adult, do you ever just go run around in your backyard circles? I open my door and like, Dakota, put your shoes on. She puts her sneakers on. This is my 5-year-old. And she will literally just run in circles with a smile on her face and just run in circle after circle after circle. And I'd be like, what is she doing? And she's happy. She's happy to be doing it outside.
Simple pleasures. We don't have them as adults like that.
And now we have sunshine guilt too.
We got to live with that.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Are you a gossip? You've been told your whole life you're not supposed to gossip about others, but according to some experts, that's not true, Raven.
Really?
Yes. Here's what they say.
There's a study that found that gossip and gossiping can actually be a good thing. What? What?
Hey, who did that?
I did.
What?
No, but who's doing that what with him?
A lot of people.
Somebody in the background?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody that is outraged.
All right.
Completely outraged that after all these years of thinking gossip is bad, it's actually good.
What?
Right.
Okay.
So a study shows that on average, a person spends an hour a day talking about other people. So why would this possibly be a good thing?
The average person spends an hour per day talking about others. They say this can have social benefits, including helping people decide who to associate with, helping people bond together, and helping them cooperate. There is one red flag, they say, that gossip is only helpful if it's true.
How do you know if gossip is true?
Well, that's a thing, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like any other story out there. If you're reporting on it, you want to be the first to the line with it.
I mean, like, you have to know that it's accurate, but, like, what if you don't and you're just spreading rumors and lies?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Something can look totally, like, you've got it all figured out on the surface, right? And then you say something and it completely backfires on you. It's not what you think. And somebody confronts you on it. It's a problem.
They said gossip can validate our emotions. We feel like we have prized information that others will find valuable because we're social creatures naturally drawn to each other.
I mean, I understand that. And I think that it's very, you have to be very specific about who you're gossiping about and who you're gossiping about that person with. Are they a trustworthy person? Is it somebody you can trust? I feel like the only people I gossip about.
Yeah. Or two. Are you gossiping about
them? About them. It's I will talk about my kids incessantly to my husband.
Sure.
Right. Because that's what we do.
And but he's your gossiping. Husband and those kids are your kids.
Right. But like, you know, we'll be like, and everything is accurate because it's things that happen at school, how they're feeling. I just don't understand this.
I don't know.
The biggest misconception that gossip is always negative, not true. The primary reason people do it is because they really just want to make sense of our environment.
What do you think?
I mean, I think that there's probably a line, right? If you're making an assumption, I think that you have to explain that. Now, you're not testifying in court. You're talking to your best friend. And you're better off, like you said, talking to one person, two people very close that you know and are trustworthy, instead of a group. Because if you're talking to a group, you look like you're just trash talking.
Well,
right?
Yes. I feel like whenever there's a gossip, like a person that's, they're known as the gossip, they've always got the tea, they've always got something to share.
Sure.
You don't necessarily hold that person in high regard.
No. A lot is on the delivery and so forth. But again, that's, you know, a matter of opinion and eye of the beholder. It's a slippery slope.
Right. And I've always felt like I don't like to judge people. You never know what's like to walk in somebody's shoes until you've walked in them. So how can you gossip and talk about somebody if you don't know that?
Stuck my nose in a couple things when I was younger, got confronted on those things. And definitely learned some lessons myself.
Yeah, I don't know. You can take this for what it's worth, but I'm going to keep my big mouth shut.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. Go ahead, vent, get it off your chest. Here we go. Haley, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you constantly complain about your boss, but then you're constantly, like, sucking up to him. That's all I need to know about you.
People will play both sides, right? You know, we had a conversation not too long ago about the squeaky wheel or, you know, the one that's always close to the boss, right? We always know that there's the one. I don't want to call him necessarily a suck-up, but you get it. Mm-hmm. And it can be effective, right? I mean, we lie to ourselves and tell us it's not. That person annoys us because that's not how we want to be. But you see them go up. They go up the ladder.
And you know what? She actually just got a raise.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, if you have a good relationship with your boss, or at least you pretend like you have a good relationship with your boss, it's certainly better than your boss hates you and you guys hate each other. It makes for a more hostile work environment. But I get what you're saying, though. It's not cool if they're talking smack about them, but then to their face, they're all smiles. But what are you supposed to do with your boss?
And then you get a raise. Yeah. Come on.
Jesse, that's all I need to know about you.
If you give away bunnies on Easter at the church to the kids, that's all I need to know about you.
What?
There's a guy at my parish that does that.
Like that's chocolate terrible. Bunnies?
No. Actual bunny rabbits, the animals.
Oh.
And, you know, it's not like he asks first. He shows up. Now everybody knows about it, so people are prepared. So they prepare their kids that, no, we can't take these home. But when he first showed up and started doing it, it was a little bit out of nowhere. And, I mean, you know, having a cat or a dog is enough work. But rabbits, I mean, it's a whole other, literally a whole other animal. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's terrible.
This is a if my 5-year-old Dakota saw a bunny that they were being giving away at church.
Oh, you just have to grab her and run.
I don't even know what I would do because she would not. I would have to. I'd be a bunny owner.
Oh, no, no.
Because
no.
I would just have to give in and then I would have a bunny. And you know what happened to me when I was a kid with my bunnies? We would have to eat them on Easter.
It's a very sad story, sir.
Yeah.
But it's the circle of life.
Oh,
yes.
That happens when your parents are from Italy. My dad still, to this day, doesn't understand why it's weird that we ate snowball on Easter. Doesn't understand why we're traumatized by it.
He's like, get over it.
It's just like chicken. What are you talking about?
Why didn't we have chicken?
Yeah. Well, we also had chicken and lamb and beef.
Oh, my God.
And meatballs.
Oh.
Actually looking forward to Easter this weekend.
Hey, Marissa, that's all I need to know about you.
If you overcharge a customer because you think they're high maintenance, that's all I need to know about you. My nail salon told me that I have to pay an extra $5 because I asked them to fix too many things.
That's the kind of stuff only nail salons can get away with. It's so
funny. I hate it.
It's like every once in a while I go and there's like a $3 upcharge for something and they'll be like, for the quick dry. And I'm like, what?
What? But,
like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Right, right. Yeah. Who could do that?
I wonder how high maintenance you are that they're adding an extra $5 for you because you asked to fix too many things.
Yeah, it's like maybe like just cut that hangnail that you forgot.
I don't know if I'd go back, right?
Right. I mean, if they're fixing something that they're doing like freehand with a design or something, then I can understand if they got to redo it 5 times and it's a matter of opinion. But something like that where they're not, you know, doing the job right, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check my slip. So they overcharging me?
You better check. It's an investigative report. When was the last time you walked into a Spencer's? I didn't even know they still existed.
It's so strange to me sometimes, the things that grab your attention. But when you get in depth, you get in depth. So what happened?
So if you've never been into a Spencer's before, it's a gift and novelty retailer.
I thought they were done.
We thought they expired in 1997.
So long ago.
Turns out they still have 700 mall-based stores in the United States, Canada, and United Kingdom.
Congratulations, Spencer's Gifts.
I walked into a mall with my family, and I saw one exactly three doors down from a Hot Topic, which also I was like, wait a minute.
Seems like they're cutting each other's business in half, but I don't even know what's in there.
So I brought my girls in to do some investigative reporting.
We're entering Spencer's, which we were unaware still existed. I'm with my girls.
Hello, how are you? We're just looking around for stuff. Thank you.
It's so funny how
they have a greeter.
They have a greeter at the door. Like, what can I help you find today? And I was like, well, I'm not really sure because I don't remember what Spencer sells.
Right.
But then I quickly learned.
Teas are buy one, get one 30% off according to the nice gentleman. All right. So far, there is some that say I love hot dads. There is a lot of inappropriate shirts here, including one that says, if lost, return to your mom's house.
Kind of wanted that one.
Did you get that one
for us?
I really wanted it. You should have.
I really wanted it.
You should have got us both one.
The things written on the shirts were so inappropriate.
I would have Venmo'd you right away. If you came in with that, as long as it was XL, I would have Venmo'd you immediately.
Hayden, this was very popular when I was in college. Do you know what this is?
Playboy?
Playboy themed clothing for women.
Oh, yeah.
And also glassware, in case that's what you want to drink out of at your home.
People still buy that?
Yeah, actually, they have more clothing and stuff like that now because it's a women's run magazine now.
Yeah, but
they flipped that whole thing.
Do you remember in college, I used to wear those shirts all the time, baby t-shirts?
They came back in the last few years, yeah.
What do you think of this selection?
I can't tell if they're earrings, nose rings, or something else rings.
It's all of the above.
Yeah.
It's a lot of piercing kind of things going on there.
A ring doesn't know what it is when it's born. It has dreams. It could be anything, right?
There's a life-size doll of Annabelle available.
That's terrifying.
Who needs that?
Shot glass section. Pin section. There's every pin you've ever wanted. Don't let your father see that.
All of a sudden, as I'm moving more into the store, I realize, I don't know if this was appropriate for me to bring my 15-year-old and my 5-year-old in here.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of things that once you get deep in, become a little bit questionable.
It's a plethora of posters. Yeah, you want another poster, Dakota?
I want the Pokemon one.
Oh. Which poster do you want, Dakota?
The Pokemon one.
Here's the thing. They put like Pokemon posters and Super Mario Brother posters right next to posters that children should never see.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're right next to each other.
I remember that from Spencer's. We had an Apple Corps near mine, which was basically the same thing. And yeah, the posters were crazy.
Hayden, do you know what a lava lamp is?
It's a lamp with stuff moving around in it.
Do you know what it's for?
Your bedroom night table?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was so excited to teach her about lava lamps. Turns out she already knew.
She knew,
yeah.
Huh? That must have been in something she saw.
It had to be a TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, drinking hats. Everyone needs drinking hats.
And drinking games.
Oh. We're going to avoid this section.
At that point, I started getting nervous because I was like, I'm glad my husband didn't come in because he would kill me right now. When you get to the back of the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's adult.
Dream catchers. People love dream catchers. Did you ever catch a dream in one?
Yeah, I'm still stuck in the last section.
No, we're going to keep going past that. Here's all the handcuffs. We're also going to bypass this section.
Yeah. And at that point, I'm like, all right, girls, let's wrap this up and let's get out of here.
It's time to head for the exit.
Yeah, I'm like, this is in a mall? What?
Expand your knowledge and vocabulary. It's the Anna and Raven Show Dictionary.
Learning new terms so you don't feel like a fool in front of the kids. Raven, I found a teacher that absolutely rocks. She's going to help us all.
I'm an 8th grade teacher. My kids are Gen Z, and most of the time I feel like I'm learning more than I'm teaching. So let's go over all the new vocabulary I learned this week.
We're going to learn so many things right now.
Here we go.
All right, here's the first one.
We're going to start off with a pretty common one, locked in.
Locked in. What do you think locked in means, Raven?
Focused, pumped up, excited. I'm focused on this. I'm ready to go.
This basically means that you are focused. You're ready to get the task done.
Got it.
I personally love when my students are locked in. The other day I started off class and I said, yesterday you had a great day. Everyone was locked in. The room fell silent. Nobody talked to me the rest of the class period.
Here's the problem. Even if you use it correctly, they still look at you like you did something wrong and then you don't know if you got it right or not.
Because they're like, you're trying too hard.
Oh gosh, always.
Yep.
Next one, giyot. Bit of a journey to find out what this one meant.
I've been saying this one behind the scenes for a long time, and I wasn't sure if we could say it on the air or not. I had to ask our boss.
I don't think I have no idea what that. Okay.
Whenever I yell "Gyat,"
yeah,
my teenager, my 15-year-old daughter, just laughs hysterically.
Listen, it's not a huge deal. We grew up with "Bootylicious." They are referencing it as "Gyat."
So it's "Bootylicious."
Uh-huh.
It means like
you're
like a booty.
You're good hot.
Yeah, you're bootylicious.
Okay.
It means like your tuchus is large.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a you're bootylicious. Why do you look like yell "Gyat"? People just like when you yell "Gyat."
Gyat.
Yeah, got it.
Is that's how you did it? Did I pronounce it right?
Gyat.
Gyat.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Okay.
Gen Z is typically not very impressed by things. They found a word to express their lack of enthusiasm, and it's mid. How's your day? It's mid. How's the pizza in the cafeteria? It's mid. Did you get a haircut? Yeah, do you like it? It's mid.
Oh. That's hurtful when they say it at the end. I mean, mid, mediocre, I get that. That one's pretty straightforward, but the haircut comment, not nice.
It's mid. You know, I have a real problem with meh, because my daughter uses a lot of meh.
Right.
Like, I'd be like, oh, what did you think of dinner? Meh. What does that mean?
That's not a thumbs up or a thumbs
down. It's the same thing as mid. Like, it was fine, but it's noncommittal, and it's not good, and it's not bad. It's just in the middle, and it makes me nuts.
Next one is hot in. We just learned it. He cooked. She cooked.
What do you think? He cooked.
Kicked
she
butt.
Cooked.
Kicked butt. Got it done.
Mm-hmm.
Means they've accomplished something. They've done something. They've achieved something. Listen, I'm all about positive talk in the classroom. So, yeah, we be cooking.
We be cooking.
I like that.
We got it all figured out. Let's just yell "Gyat" one more time. Let's yell "Gyat."
Gyat.
Gyat.
Is that it?
That's it. The audio from the Key Bridge dispatch from yesterday's collapse was just released. These guys are heroes. 100%. So if you missed it somehow yesterday, a massive 984-foot-long cargo ship lost power and all controls, rammed into a support pillar for the Key Bridge in Baltimore. And it happened about 1:30 yesterday morning. Huge span of the bridge collapsed into the river 6 seconds later. But it was a quick response from the Baltimore Bridge Dispatch that helped save lives so quickly. Check this out.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic.
I'm en route to the south side.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. There's a crew up there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
Now, here's the sad part about they're talking about the 8 construction workers that were working on the bridge. 6 of them are presumed gone at this point.
Yeah.
They were able to save 2. It's still, I believe they're still doing, it's not search and rescue anymore. I think it's search and recovery at this point.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things that you can have as a positive or a safety measure in your life is the ability to stay calm in a very, very dire situation, an emergency situation, because you go to work every day. There's a routine to everything. No matter how many times you've been trained, you don't expect that day to be the day that something is actually going to happen. And you need to keep in mind that all this happened in a matter of just minutes. They get the Mayday call. It's got to be relayed through one person to another person, and then they've got to make the call to the other guys to get out there and stop traffic. This could have been so much worse. I do have a question, though, because I thought I saw cars go into the water. I mean, when I saw the video, I thought I saw cars.
But from what I understand,
but were they empty cars? Are they just not saying it because they don't know yet?
They don't know yet. Now, of course, I'm getting the same information you're getting from all the different news media sites. From what I understand, they were able to stop most of the traffic. Those are part of the construction cars that were still on there, but they're not 100% certain.
Right.
But, you know, you talk about how calm they are. They're like saying, we got to stop traffic. They lost control.
You get hysterical, nobody can understand you.
But listen to this part where now this is, 6 seconds later after the bridge collapsed.
213 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Do we know if all traffic will stop?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
213, I'm holding all traffic northbound.
I mean, it's like now you're like, oh, my gosh, it really happened. Oh,
yes. It's really good work because this is obviously a very busy span of the bridge.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of implications of this as far as economically and so forth. It's terrible. But when you see that video, if you hear 6 people and I think they were in one vehicle or something on break, somebody said something like that to me. it's terrible, obviously, for them and their families. But, I mean, imagine what this could have been. And it still could be. So I don't want to speak too much.
During the day in traffic, 30,000 cars go over that bridge.
It's amazing
when
that...
you think about that this happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And they were able to stop traffic and that it was just, sadly, the crew working on the bridge. I mean, in a lot of ways, very lucky.
Yeah, you know? Great work. Commendable. Again, keeping your focus in an emergency situation is not an easy thing. Not everybody is born with that. So. No.
It's shockingly hurtful is really what it is. I got a text message from my cousin Angela, and she says, you're never going to believe the photo I just received. And I said, what? I guess one of her friends teaches at the elementary school where my nephews go to school. And there was something spotted in the lost and found and said, oh, this must belong to Angela. That's her cousin. So they sent the picture to her, assuming that it was hers. And it was not.
This is an exclusive item that there was only a limited number of. It was special. And you really sold it. You really loved that item.
There were only 10 Anna and Raven Stanley Cups ever made. They were, without doubt, the ugliest things I'd ever seen in my entire life.
You said it every time you mention them. That is not fair.
They're hideous.
It doesn't feel real to me.
But you could only win them. Now, let me make something very clear. I was not given one. Raven was not given one.
I don't have one.
My cousin Angela was not given one.
Definitely does not have one.
No. There were only 10, and they went to 10 winners that a couple weeks ago when we had games that we were giving them away.
How it got there.
And it's in an elementary school's lost and found.
Yeah.
I have the picture up on our story at Anna and Raven on Instagram if you want to see it. Who lost it? Who did not care enough about this collectible item that it's in an elementary school's lost and found?
You know, it was lost, and then nobody came looking for it.
Nobody
either.
Even cared.
Nobody came looking
cared.
For it. That's...
Probably because it was like a second grader, and the thing weighed is about 600 pounds.
Who gives their second grader this beautiful chalice that should be, you know, saved forever, this vessel?
It was one of the big ones, too. It's like 40 ounces of water.
I mean, seriously.
I don't know.
At the very least, it's practical if you're hiking.
I told Angela, go get it. We're going to sell it. We're gonna re-give it out refurbished. She says she refuses to.
Oh, come on. She doesn't want to be embarrassed either.
Oh.
How come nobody's stolen it out of Lost and Found?
Nobody even wants it.
Oh, it's sad.
What did you find in a Lost and Found? I'm thinking about calling the school, by the way. What did you find? 1-800-330-9999. Allison.
I found a wig at a bowling alley once.
Huh.
You gotta wonder how that happens.
Right.
Exactly. It was in the bathroom. So I don't know if they were like redoing their hair and it fell out of their purse. I'm not sure, but it was weird.
That is strange, because how do you walk out not knowing that you don't have your hair on?
Two options here,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Great night, like hell of a night.
At the bowling alley?
Terrible night.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it can go either way on that one. Or you came across somebody's disguise.
Ah.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Right.
I didn't even think about that.
Right.
What if it was like a FBI sting?
Ah.
And there was somebody changing their disguise in the bathroom. Sloppy work.
Or a fugitive.
They're leaving their wig lying around.
Right.
Did you take it? I would be... If I saw that it was lost and found, I'd be like, huh.
Let me try.
I could see some things I could do with this. Crack myself up.
I was so grossed out. I took like toilet tissue and like grabbed it on either side and just kind of like walked it to the front desk and was like, I found this.
Mm.
And they were like, huh.
They were equally surprised.
Right.
What did you find in a lost and found? 1-800-330-9999. What did you find in a lost and found that was really wacky? Because my cousin Angela sent me a photo at her child's elementary school. Somebody left an Anna and Raven collectible Stanley Cup and nobody claimed it.
I mean, the crazy thing to me is there were only 10 of these given out and it was like a couple weeks ago.
They don't even care that it's gone.
Nobody came looking for it.
They only had 10 made in the whole world and it's literally in an elementary school's lost and found right now.
Wow.
What did you spot? 1-800-330-9999. Richard.
Well, it was in a playground in Central Park. I found a full set of dentures, top and bottom. And so I called 311 in New York City, and the police came. And I turned them in to the cops, who had very strange looks on their faces. But I felt bad that an old person they might have fallen out, and the old person didn't see where they bounced.
Wait, you called the police to report that you had found dentures?
I mean, where's the rest of the body?
Well, I was in the middle of the park, so I didn't know where the local precinct was, so I called the service number instead of the emergency number, and they sent a police car, and the two people who came over, I just said, look, I have them in a paper bag. I found a paper bag and put them in, and I pictured some 80-year-old man or woman walking around without their teeth, and I felt terrible.
Well, it is sad because, you know, you immediately think it was probably somebody had dementia or something like that that lost their teeth, you know?
Right.
So I could understand, but can they find who they belong to? They're not.
I mean, no, they're not going to put on an APB on it. If somebody calls for it, they'd be like, you know what? We found some dentures. That'd be different, right? The life of a cop, though. Every day an adventure.
We got a call. It's at the park. We got a pair of dentures over there. Heading right over, sir.
Right. I need you to print this area, dust this area here. We're going to need some evidence bags.
Lisa, what did you find in the lost and found?
So I was at the mall, and I was eating at the food court, and I saw a retainer left at a table. And I wear retainers. I have, like, a clear aligner, and I know how valuable they are. So I sent them to the lost and found with a napkin. I touched it with a napkin.
People be leaving their teeth, yo.
Everywhere. And that's what it is.
All over the place.
It's like that time I found an Invisalign in my living room and I didn't know who it belonged to.
That's so weird.
To this day, I don't know where it came from or who it was.
It's so weird.
I don't
know. And they're not cheap. They're not just giving them away.
No.
Like you said, you know, the retainer. So if you're at the mall, you take the retainer out to eat. You take the retainer out to talk to somebody else. What do you do?
Yeah, take it out to eat.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can only talk to Invisalign because my daughter has one now. But yeah, you usually take them out to eat. Usually they have little cases that they put them back in.
Yeah,
they
I thought
put them
so.
In their, you know, whatever. But I could see losing one of those. It doesn't sound crazy to me.
But it does sound gross.
Yeah, definitely. When it's not yours. Pat, what did you find in the lost and found?
So this one time I found this one old dirty sock and I brought it to the lost and found and. You know, it's like, what am I going to do? It's like somebody lost one of their socks, but what happened to the other one? And I don't know what, I wasn't just going to throw it out, you know? So, yeah.
I hope one that sock was 3 inches long and belonged to a child, because it's the only person that should be losing their socks in public.
Does it make me a terrible person to say that I would just walk right on by that sock?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't pick it up. And like, that sock belongs to the world now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's right there on the ground.
Right. Other things I wouldn't touch on the side of the road. Floss, toothpicks, you know, those they can stay down there. I don't need to pick that up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And anything that goes in your mouth, come to think of it.
Or on your feet. You ever, to me, I always think it's strange when you see that one shoe in the middle of the highway. What happened to that person?
Where's the foot?
Where is the foot?
Right.
Where is the person that was attached to it? At what point were they just sitting in traffic and now they're Nikes in the middle of the road?
I feel like they're somewhere in the woods.
I guess so.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
So Anna and Raven Roadshow all this week, Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. He's been looking over all the items you submitted earlier this month, and he's picking which to highlight. What are actually worth money and what's not? Ryan, what do we have today?
So Honey Bunny sends us what she calls a religious egg. A carved religious egg.
All right, Honey Bunny of the Messiah.
So when I first saw it, it's a Russian Orthodox. Imagine that a picture in a museum with the Virgin Mary holding Jesus with the halos and all the Cyrillic writing on it. And this one's about 8 inches tall. Said that it was found in a storage unit and goes on to say that she thinks it's solid wood. Now, unless I was holding it in my hand, I couldn't tell you for sure, but what it looks like to me is an ostrich egg.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you ever held an actual ostrich egg?
No, I can't say that I have.
I know that they're massive.
They're,
right?
Yeah, they're big.
And if it's super big, I'm guessing that it might actually be thick.
Yes. Mm. It's so thick that you can create things from an ostrich egg. And it's not like a chicken egg where you have that thin shell and you crack it. You could actually carve into an ostrich egg and fill it with something and turn it into a solid object. As I was going through my research, I found that ostrich eggs are made into lamps, humidors,
okay.
Beer steins.
Wow.
That's
and
cool.
Some of them even have illicit images engraved on the inside that you can look through the hole in the bottom and see like a naked lady.
Are these sailors?
What is that?
Who had ostrich eggs like that?
And how do you paint inside of an egg?
they carve inside there, just like a ship in a bottle.
Really, really, really tiny hands.
I guess so. Like little tiny elves. Okay.
So if this one is wood, it's probably in the 50 to 100 range. Mm-hmm. If it's an ostrich egg, and we can confirm that, probably in the 2 to 400 range. It's not super old, somewhere around mid-20th century, something like that.
They're still making ostriches. That's the thing. If they weren't, think about it. Value go way up.
Can I ask a stupid question? Isn't there stuff inside of an ostrich egg?
Yeah, you
How do you get it out? You got the thing where you blow, like
you make an omelet.
You just make a little hole in the bottom, and you're right, make an omelet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alarming. All right.
You're asking it like it's illicit, right? Like you're not supposed to say it out loud.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I mean, the baby ostrich doesn't come out fully grown. It's just an egg.
It's just a really big breakfast.
Really, really big one. Right.
All right, we're going to have more with Ryan coming up next. Earlier this month, we asked you to submit your items for the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Things you have around your house that you know they're old, but you don't know when they're from, how much they're worth. And joining us, it's Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. He's an expert auctioneer. Now, I'll tell you something. We did this a couple years ago, and this item that you're going to talk about right now didn't make it to air because he submitted it too late. And he always asked me, when he comes back, can you send it? And I did send it, and you chose it.
Does that mean that it's something special, Ryan?
This is an example of what we call provenance. You can have an object, but if you don't know its history or where it's been or how it got to be here today, it's only worth the object as it sits. But when you have a story behind it, when you know where it lived, how it came to be, and who owned it, the value goes up. In this case, these are from Paul's family. They owned a store, and it had Coca-Cola advertising items all over it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is about mid-20th century, so think 1950s, right? Original Coca-Cola items from the company. He has four countertop cardboard die cuts. So these are like a textured little stand that would sit on the counter, and it has an attractive woman smiling and drinking Coca-Cola.
I mean, that's what I think of when I think of Coca-Cola.
In the 1950s.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
God bless America.
Each one of these... when they're mint condition, they're all original. They're worth about $400 a piece.
Nice.
This is just a piece of cardboard with a smiling woman holding Coca-Cola on it. They took theirs and cut them down a little bit and put them into picture frames. So they might be worth a few hundred a piece like that. But they're hard to come by in high condition because everyone thought these were a throwaway item. There's two other items that came from this store, which is also what makes it interesting. One of them is a tall Coca-Cola cooler. They must have had this behind the counter because it didn't have the option for coin-op.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a self-serve thing that you put the coins in and the bottle of Coke popped out.
Probably this also means a little bit less wear, too, though.
Yeah, the condition's really good. That one is not one of the more desirable styles. It's got a little paint flaking off. Around $400 for that.
Still a cool item to have.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Conversation pieces for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The real gem here, though, is the exterior sign from the building. This is big. This is like a 4-foot sign made with enamel. It's got the original maker of the sign printed along the bottom.
Oh, that's
it's got the name of the store. And this sign dates back to 1935.
Wow.
So a little bit earlier. The condition is out of sight. When I saw the pictures, I couldn't believe that it was on the outside of the building. It must have been in a good location and sheltered. Considering the provenance, considering the condition and the size of the sign, strong colors, it might today get an auction estimate between $3,000 and $5,000, and it could easily sell upwards to $6,000 or $7,000.
I always feel like the Coca-Cola and Pepsi stuff is the stuff you want if you're going to collect like the soda, right?
Mm. I had a friend that had a room full of Pepsi stuff, all nations, all across the world. I mean, there was custom stuff, but there was a lot of stuff, too, that was just, you know, one-time run or whatever. But, I mean, you got to find the person who buys it, right?
Yeah. What we're watching right now is the biggest transfer of wealth in our country's history, right? So as boomers are aging out, all of their stuff is coming to market. So the Coca-Cola market's been destabilized a little bit because 500 things will come to auction every month.
People love Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. My biggest vice.
And if you've always wanted it, you have an opportunity to buy it now. In this case, that particular sign, it's the cream of the crop. That will rise. That will not, you know, the prices for that will not be suppressed. And that's what you should focus on. If you're buying, you should go after the best and the most rarest items.
One couple.
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Going to take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. It's the stinky kid. Logan and Joe. Logan, what's going on?
All right, here we go. We got a middle schooler, I'm talking 13 years old, who is an athlete, who refuses to take a shower or wear deodorant regularly. And that is, he just needs to shower just at least before school. That's all I'm asking. And Joe, you say your side of the story, please.
Oh, I've told you since we know each other that you have a nose like a bloodhound. I don't smell it on him. So he's 13 okay. years old, Lo. You're going to give him a complex, and he'll figure it out because he's getting to that age where girls are going to be important, and that's going to straighten him right out.
I mean, it's true. The first time somebody that you like says something to you about the way that you smell, you're never going to make that mistake again.
He's 13 years old. It's right. not going to happen tomorrow. Hmm. Boys smell. Girls smell, too. Athletes smell at that age. I mean, everybody smells. I just don't understand, Joe, why you're so against making your son take a shower.
Well, what I'm saying is giving him a complex because we've mentioned it. I don't want to keep mentioning it over and over again because that's what's going to give him a complex. His friends all smell, too. If you pick up a bunch of guys from a practice, the car stinks. But they're 13 years old, and they're going to shower eventually. That's the way I see it. That's all.
Eventually. What is wrong? What, he's going to grow fungus. Like, come on, Joe. Like, this
he
is
showers.
The hat.
Listen. He showers.
No, he doesn't. No,
you
he doesn't.
Walk around, you walk from he room does. To room smelling in the house no matter what. Even if we didn't have a kid before we had kids, this is what you did. You're constantly sniffing the air, and you have a great sense of smell. But that's part of this. That's all I'm arguing.
I have friends that are middle school teachers, and they tell me that the kids smell.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the time. And you don't know what the situation is at home.
Right.
But I take away, like, God forbid there's an issue at home. Sometimes kids just don't want to shower because they don't smell it on themselves and they don't care. I know as a
exactly.
mother myself, there's been plenty of times where I'm like, I smell one of my kid's hair and be like, get in the shower.
Yeah.
You know?
Realistically, yep. I mean, how often is he showering? Joe, you're saying that he's showering.
No, he's not showering. He'll shower on the weekends. Don't lie, Joe. On the weekends, he'll take a
it's
shower.
It's not a lie. It's just that I leave early for work. I'm assuming every other day. Right? I mean, it's hormonal. It's the hormones that are making him smell like that. So you could take 10 showers, and it's still not going to wash it all away.
All right, so
the deodorant, I think, is a better...
I'm just asking for one shower. That's it.
Every day. Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Logan. Is Joe out of line for not working with Logan to make sure their son is showering every morning before school?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's the case of the smelly 13-year-old boy.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of parents have to deal with this. Some middle schoolers and boys of all ages and girls get stinky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. As soon as they start hitting puberty, like, it's going to happen.
So Logan is very much for her son to take a shower every single morning before going to school because she says he stinks. Like, he can't go to school like that. And he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. He doesn't wear deodorant consistently. And Joe, her husband, is like, just leave him alone. He's a boy. Let him do his thing. Who cares if he smells?
Well, Joe's concern here basically is that she's, you know, coming at him about it all the time. And his son tells him that I'm taking a shower, but Joe leaves early for work. So he doesn't really know at this case. But he says, listen, it's the way that you're telling him over and over and over again. He also contends that Logan has a hyperactive smelling situation.
I mean,
power.
Honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Is Logan going too far? Christine, whose side are you on?
I have two boys in my 20s, and I'm also an elementary school teacher. And this has been a hot topic because I think it's the parents' responsibility to teach their children what's socially acceptable. It's not socially acceptable to walk around and smell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My other question is, for the dad, how often does he shower?
It makes you wonder.
Shower every day. Yeah. If he's taking a shower every day, he needs to teach his son that he needs to take a shower every day.
Right.
He smells, and it's not socially acceptable.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. What do you do if you have a stinky teenager and he doesn't want to take a shower or wear deodorant every day? Because Logan has had it with her son. She says that she is constantly telling him that he smells and he's got to take a shower every day before he goes to school. He's an athlete and he's just not doing it. And she's upset that her husband, Joe, is not supporting her in this fight.
Joe says this is normal, right? He's a boy athlete. He is showering, but yeah, he stinks. It's par for the course. And, you know, the way that you're telling him, Logan, is upsetting him. And it's going to get worse if you do this. It's going to be a problem.
I mean, what's the big deal? You have to shower every morning before school. Is that a big deal? Mm. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I think that the mother is right. I have two grandchildren, boys. They're 13 and 14. They're in the shower every single day. And when they come by my house, they're in the shower every single day. So I agree with the mother. I don't know where this father's coming from. They got to be taught hygiene. Don't bet that they're going to meet a girl and they're going to be, oh, I'm going to take a shower every day now. No, that's taught when they're younger, and it goes into their adulthood like I did with my two daughters.
I feel like, Carol, when we go to your house, you just shove people in the shower. I feel like that's what's going on.
Absolutely.
Good shower policy.
Hey, Karen, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
This dad is absolutely clueless. I work in a middle school. These boys especially stink bad. The mom is not giving him a complex. The kids are likely already talking about how bad he smells. The worst thing we have to do is call home and say, people are complaining about your kid stinking. He needs to make him shower.
Unless you got a stinky posse. If you got a stinky posse, you know, there's power in numbers. Right?
Well, then you just, like, when you walk, you smell them everywhere they go when they walk.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
Ed, what do you think about this?
I side with her. It's like, dude, we take two showers a day in our house, before bed and once you get up in the morning.
Mm.
What happens? He doesn't go to the bathroom every other day? Really?
I mean, right, it's a reminder when you're in there that you should take a shower.
Yeah, take him out back, hose him down, call it a day.
But
that's what I say.
If you do that one time, you'll never have to worry about him showering again, I'm guessing.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Logan, our audience agreed with you today. He's got a shower every day before school. It's just sanitary. And Joe, you got a backer on it.
Thank you.
All right. We will try.
Not trying. We will.
And what do we do if he doesn't?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's the verdict, so you've got to help
me do
it.
He's a great student. He's a great athlete. What are you going to do, take away his video games? I mean, it's silly. It
just
sounds immature to me, but
yeah. Maybe he just needs to hear it from dad.
Yeah,
so let's do it like that.
You just have to tell him, obviously, and you have to be attentive to it, and you have to explain to him, like, listen, you might not think it's an issue, but it's going to be an issue for those around you, and you don't want that ridicule.
Right. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,000 thanks to the new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. David, you ready to play?
Yes, all ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room, please?
You got it, Dave. Good luck.
Okay. So Raven's going to walk out of here, David, and that door is eventually going to close and he won't be able to hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let's win some money. Number one, Jen Tran will be the first Asian leading lady for season 21 of The Bachelorette. What is the name of the show where all the female contestants reveal details about The Bachelor?
Oh, man. I'm not sure.
That's okay. Number two, Bob Barker's historic home that he owned for 50 years is for sale for just under $3 million. It's considered one of the first houses ever built in Hollywood. He ended every episode on Price is Right by saying, have your pets what?
I don't know.
It's all right. Number three, Drew Barrymore gave Shakira's hips a lie detector test and they passed because her hips don't lie. She gave a free pop-up concert to 40,000 people in what national tourist destination last night?
No clue.
Number four, last week, Instagram quietly rolled out a new feature to limit viewers to political content on the app. What's the name of Instagram's parent company?
Is it Meta?
Number five, Star Wars brand milk is hitting stores on April 17th as part of Lucasfilm's celebration of Star Wars Day on May the 4th. Luke drank what color milk in the original Star Wars in 1977?
Yellow?
Let me bring Raven back in. That's disgusting. Milk should never be yellow. Well, let's go, let's go. David did terribly. He only got one right.
Oh, good job. All right. I mean, whatever. You got a shot at $2,000. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Jen Tran will be the first Asian leading lady for season 21 of The Bachelorette.
I like her, but I don't know if she's got the magic.
What is the name of the show where the female contestants reveal details about The Bachelor?
Women Tell All.
That's right. I just want you to know that Raven is obsessed with The Bachelor, and yeah. I refuse to let him talk about it on the air because I think nobody cares.
Well, here's the thing is, I like it so much that if I open my mouth about it, I could talk about it for 10 minutes, and I never, it's been on forever, and I only started watching it a few years ago. And now I watch every bit of it.
Now you see why I don't let him talk about it. Number two, Bob Barker's historic home that he owned for 50 years is for sale for just under $3 million. Mm. It's considered one of the first houses ever built in Hollywood. He ended every episode of The Price is Right by saying, have your pets what?
Spayed or neutered.
That's right.
Right, and Drew still does it today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you know that he bought that house 50 years ago and he never did a single upgrade to it?
Wow.
If you look at the pictures, you're like, oh, wow.
Old school guy.
Yeah. All right, number three, Drew Barrymore gave Shakira's hips the lie detector test and they passed because her hips don't lie.
Okay.
She gave a free pop-up concert of 40,000 people in what national tourist destination last night?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to say, I'm just going to take a guess here. She was a Drew Barrymore. So I'm going to say Statue of Liberty.
Times Square. Number four, last week, Instagram quietly rolled out a new feature to limit viewers to political content on the app. What's the name of Instagram's parent company?
Facebook, Meta.
Meta is correct.
Yeah.
And number five, Star Wars brand milk is hitting stores on April 17th as part of Lucasfilm's celebration of Star Wars Day on May the 4th. Luke drank what color milk in the original Star Wars in 1977?
It's blue milk.
That's right. All right, David, 4-1 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Yeah, it's David. I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $2,100 tomorrow, Anna.